This week on Out of Chicago, my favorite places to shoot in the summer in Chicago, an interview with Michael Mraz, and the Out of Chicago Conference wrap-up. Welcome to Out of Chicago. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and this is the show where we talk about all things Chicago photography, and we'll give tips and tricks for all kinds of city photography. Well, thank you, guys. Just yesterday, we finished up on the Out of Chicago Conference. It was great. I mean, I hope you loved it. We had a great turnout. Everyone was super fun and super positive, and I think everyone had a great time. I know that I did, and the presenters did, and I've been looking through the feedback, and everything I've heard has been positive. So I think that I read 80 different responses, and we asked, you know, would you come back again next year? And I think I got one maybe and 79 yeses. Of course, we'd love to. So it was great. I can't believe how well it turned out for the first year. Thank you very much for everyone that was a part of it, the presenters, the people that helped me, and you guys, anyone that attended. So thank you very much. The conference was awesome. Now we're in full swing for the summer, so I want to talk a little bit about some of my favorite places to shoot in the summer. So here we go. We got my favorite 10 places. Actually, five of them were in the book, The Photographer's Guide to Chicago, and I've got five more favorite places. So here we go. Number one place in the summer is Millennium Park, and in Millennium Park, specifically in the summer, is Crown Fountain. You guys know Crown Fountain. That's the one with the faces on either side of it and the kids running around in the summer. That's fun to shoot at night, and that's fun to shoot during the day. All around Millennium Park is great during the summer. It's great if you like street photography. It's great if you like to shoot cityscapes, whatever. Millennium Park, that's number one. Number two, great place to shoot Buckingham Fountain. My apologies to everyone that came to the conference and found that Buckingham Fountain was essentially closed for the weekend because of the triathlon. We will schedule around the triathlon next year. So Buckingham Fountain is an amazing place to shoot during the day or at night. It's really great when there's water in it. That's why it's number two on our list for summer places to shoot. Number three is the Chicago Riverwalk. Great place to walk around during the summer. Lots of people to see. Lots of boats going through. Chicago Riverwalk, that is number three. Number four is actually on the river. So either take an architectural tour or a water taxi, and you're going to get some awesome shots just by sailing down the river. If it's an architectural tour, they're going to take their time a little bit more. Actually, I believe they give a one for photographers. I've done it once before, and it's early in the morning, so you still get some decent light. It's only offered on Saturday or Sunday. Go to architecture.org for more information on the Chicago Architecture Foundation's tours. Now, you can go on the water taxis, and the water taxis are cheaper, but they go through the thing a lot faster. I think I remember Pat Armel said they're not into dilly-dallying, and that's right. So they're just going to go from one place to another, but they're pretty cool. Not only would it get you to another location, but along the way, you're going to shoot some stuff too. So it's less than 10 bucks you can get from place to place on the water taxis. So that is number four on our list of places for Chicago in the summer. Number five, Navy Pier. Oh, come on. Navy Pier is the best in the summer, right? People watching and, to me, shooting the rides at night, doing long exposures, that's my favorite, or riding the Ferris wheel, all great. It's a great place to be in the summer. Number six is Museum Campus, so that means out by the Shed, out by the Field Museum, and out by Edler Planetarium, looking back at the city. We ended one of our photo walks here the other day for the conference, and it's just, you know, great view of the city. Summer's a great time to be there. And you listen to the concerts at Northerly Island, and there's tons of people down there. Some of them may have been drinking, but it's a great time and great place to be in the summer. Number seven is just shooting around the Loop. The Loop's a great place in the summer as well. You get some great blue hour. It lasts forever. It's hard to explain. I mean, it's just that you can be out forever in the Loop. Great place to be. Lots of people walking around. And so that's why it's number seven on our list for Chicago places in the summer. Number 8, go to the 18th Street Bridge and then head to Chinatown. Those two together make a great combination for a great photo walk. I'd say head to the 18th Street Bridge at sunset and from there go to Chinatown at night. Those two together, great idea for the summer. Number 9, Lincoln Park and North Avenue Beach. So Lincoln Park, of course, has the zoo, or it has the People's Gas Pavilion, or it has the overpass that heads over to North Avenue Beach. Another great photo walk. Start yourself at the zoo. Try and find a free place to park there. Walk across through the park, through North Pond, South Pond, over the overpass, and then go to North Avenue Beach and look for your views of the city. Altogether, you're going to have a great walk. And if you're doing it during the summer, it's a great opportunity to go out onto the pier, out to the kind of light that's at the end of that breakwater, and look back at the city for a great shot. And number 10, and this one kind of goes against what you'd think for the summer, but I said number 10 is museums and like the cultural center. Once you get to those days where it's 95, almost 100 degrees in Chicago, you want to go somewhere inside. So look for those museums. Look for a place like the cultural center to shoot inside. A great way, you get up early in the morning, you can shoot sunrise or at least shoot when the light's still decent, and then head inside for a little while before heading back out later. So cultural center is great because it's right across from the from Millennium Park, our number one thing. So if you're shooting a Millennium Park and you're just getting a little too hot, head over to the cultural center. It's free to head in there. It's be nice and cool, get some great shots, and then head back on out. So there it is, 10 great places to shoot in Chicago. Chicago is an awesome place to be in the summer. It's an awesome place to be any time of year. If you're here in the summer, those are my favorite places to go to. There's a ton more. Let me know if you got some of your other favorites in the comments on this post. And that's going to lead us to our interview with Michael Meraz. He's a fantastic photographer from Toronto. He was here in Chicago shooting. He got some great shots. And he's going to talk today about how he does some of his post-processing. He does architectural stuff. He does a lot of cityscapes. And he does landscapes as well. So I think you're going to enjoy the interview. And here we go, Michael Meraz. Well, hello, Michael. Welcome to the Out of Chicago show.
Hi. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. How are you today?
Great, great. Thanks.
Yeah, as you said, it's a little rainy there today, but it's definitely getting to be summer, isn't it?
Yes, finally, after the very, very long winter in Toronto.
I was going to say, and when I say there, you're in Toronto, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Now, on your site, you say that you are a cityscape photographer, but I see you got lots of landscapes and all sorts of stuff in there. Tell us about the types of things you like to shoot.
So I guess I have three types of photography I really enjoy. It's a lot of landscape and cityscape photography. And lately I've been also drawn to more architectural work.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different, a lot more post-processing, a lot more creative work. Whereas when you are in a landscape or cityscape photographer, it's more about the moment and recording it, and then afterwards, there's less work in, on the computer.
So you're doing the architectural is more of not like a professional architectural photographer, but as like a fine art architecture. Is that right?
Exactly. More of a long exposure, black and white often. And then it involves, heavy processing, like I said.
Yeah, I assume you get a lot of information from, I can't say their names, but Joel and Julia. You know who I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Yes. And so, because I see a lot of your shots, you've got the classic black and white and the long exposure, you know, one or two clouds kind of over the whole thing. And yours look great. I love it.
Thanks. Well, they're definitely a big inspiration. And they just released a new book that I'm yet to read. So more work.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff out there and they really have a unique style and it works really well.
Yes, and the reviews I've seen from the books really say that it's one of the most interesting and most influencing book in a long time for black and white photography, which is quite the statement.
Yeah, so, quite something to say. Yeah, well, we'll have to read it and find out if they're right or not.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about your background, just real quick, in photography.
Sure. Photography always was an interest for me because I like to travel, and that was really the main reason I started taking photographs even when I was very, very young. And then I always felt a bit frustrated that it didn't really look like what I saw. And in 2011, I spent some time studying in Denmark, and I guess I had a bit of time on the site, so I started to get more interested in reading online. And it was also the year Google Plus came out, and that's really where I started learning and getting inspired by other people, other photographer, with that very good community you can find on Google Plus. And then since 2011, I bought a new DSLR since, and trying to get more into a more efficient post-processing. I went to HDR, the bad phase of HDR, where
Everyone's been through it, believe me. I'm
I
still there.
think so. And trying to do a bit differently. And yes, so that's about it, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know what? Let's t step to the side a little bit. You're super popular on Google Plus. Can you give people a couple of tips for how to be successful on Google Plus? I mean, I have so many people that tell me, you know, I try Google Plus and I get no one responding to anything I'm doing. What would you say to them?
I'd say it's a very different community than what you can find on Facebook, as it's more about it's a community around interest. It's not your friends necessarily, it's not your family or your grandma or your sister. It's people that share interest, and that's what I really liked about it. And then the game is to go to people and comment on their post, and really that's it's being social in that way. So ask question. Have a good profile too, because if you don't have a picture, if you don't have a few lines about yourself, then people are not gonna be really interested in adding you or circling you. And then you can start following the big names and just start asking around, talking to people. Honestly, from I didn't do much on Google Plus. Sometimes I have a lot of people adding me over a few months, and then the last few months I haven't grown a lot the followers, so I don't know how it works exactly. What I know is easy to meet people from Google Plus. So anytime I go somewhere, I try to contact people on Google Plus, like I did when I went to Chicago. It didn't work out,
No,
unfortunately,
I
but
apologize. Yeah.
that's okay. I did it when I was in Italy. I met with Francesco Gola, which is a fantastic photographer. It's just so many opportunities. So really try to be more the most social you can, and it works. Honestly, I didn't put that much into it at first,
But
and then
really,
of
I think the secret is that you went out to these other people. I think people
yes.
expect that they can put some images up and everyone will start to comment on it. But it takes work. You have to go seek out the other people first, right?
Yes, it's a matter of really being social in the sense that you have to go out there and start talking to people, because it's like being on the subway and expecting everyone's gonna talk to you. Like,
Right.
it doesn't work that way, even if you put a picture or anything. And there are a lot of themes of daily, weekly themes. Try to tag your pictures with those themes. And then it will like people actually go, and then curators go and share your images, and there's communities you can share in the communities, like the one you created for the city. I don't remember the name,
The city
sorry.
is art.
Yes, that's also another dimension of the whole Google Plus.
Yeah, there's so much you can do. And really my favorite part about Google Plus is that you're interacting with other like top-notch photographers, and the way that you can communicate with them is it is really well done. You can, I mean,
Yes.
anytime you communicate with someone, they get a notification that you made a comment about them. When that happens in something like Flickr, it seems to the comments seem to get lost, and even when they reply to it, there's no way for you really to know that someone commented on it. And Flickr is great for a lot of things, but for communication, it really is lacking.
Definitely. I think Flickr needs a way more social approach. There are good things about the Flickr, was just also the sets and all that, and the history, because it's the historic social media, the first one for photographers. So obviously everyone there.
Yeah, I had made a post about why Google Plus is better than Flickr, and tons of people came back and said, you know, it's on Flickr that everybody finds me. That's one thing I'll say about Flickr is that it searches a lot better, which is ironic considering Google Plus is Google. But if people find things through Flickr, a lot easier it seems than through Google Plus.
And also, when you think about, I want to search a photograph, then you think, oh, Flickr is just photograph. Google Plus is just social media.
Good
and
point.
You're not necessarily, it's not specific for pictures, even though there is a strong emphasis on pictures, and Google has really made an awesome job at listening to the community and making things much bigger and big pictures and great light boxes and things like that.
Right. All right, so back to you. When you're going, you said you do a lot of traveling. Now, are you doing that on business, or are you doing that mostly just to see these sites?
Unfortunately, it's not on business. I wish my job would take me those places.
Well,
so
maybe
it's...
fortunately. I mean, a lot of people go on business, and then they're like, I had 4 hours to shoot, and that was it. So maybe this is better.
Yeah, well, at least I go there only to visit. The good thing is also my girlfriend is interested in photography and very patient with me, so it helps a lot.
That does help.
It helps a lot when I drag her at 4 a.m. to see a sunrise and things like that. That's
oh,
for sure.
Wow. And she's not still sleeping. My wife would still be sleeping.
I even dragged her on... last year, when we were in the southwest of the U.S., we actually wake up at 4 a.m. on the day of her birthday to go out and shoot. So, see?
Well, you found a good one. That's for
yes.
sure.
So, wow. Yeah, I'm fortunate about that. And, no, I've really always been interested in traveling and seeing new cultures, seeing new landscapes. So, I try to do it as much as I can. Unfortunately, Canada doesn't have as much vacation per year that we had in France, so
oh,
that's
mm-hmm.
gonna reduce it. But now the thing that has changed also is that I try to plan my trips for photography more than before.
Oh, and that's
I
great.
Used to just go somewhere and then I might as well take pictures. Now I try to get ready before and know where I'm going and why I'm going there, at what time, and things like that.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what you do to prepare. I just saw you had a blog post on that today on your site.
Yes.
give us a couple of the tips. What do you do when you're going to a new place?
So the great thing is right now we have so many great tools at our disposal just on your computer, which is not where our parents could say or some time ago it was a lot harder. So the first thing I would do is usually I would just look for pictures, like search online for pictures of the place. So the two places I usually go is obviously Google Plus, and then you can even I usually just filter by my own circles, so I could just get relevant photographers, I'd say. And the other place is 500 pixels because it's there's always gorgeous pictures, and the search works pretty well usually. So this is a very good place to start to get to know the place and to have a location. So sometimes you have to obviously find out a bit more about the exact location, and then that's where tools like Google Earth or Google Maps works well. The Street View, if I go to a city, the Street View is a fantastic tool.
Absolutely.
Just to check well what you see from the street and different places. What else? I could use a few apps, and one I use the most is the one called the Photographer Ephemeris.
Yep, I love that one.
Yes, so you can use it, I think, on Android and iPhone, at least, and on the desktop it's even free, so it's pretty good. So what it does is pretty. You can look up any place in the world using Google Maps, and it will tell you where the sun and the moon are at a specific time of and a specific date. So it's very good to check where the sun will be at sunset, and you can see which location are good for sunset, which one are good for sunrise, and then you can plan accordingly, because sometimes it's hard to know without those tools.
Yeah, and that app is very precise. I used it a couple of years ago when there was supposed to be like the super moon or whatever, and I said, well, where would I have to stand so that it comes up right over Adler Planetarium? And it tells you, it shows you with the line exactly where you'd have to be so that your view is seeing it with it coming up right over it. And yeah, it works great for things like that.
It does. So it's definitely a good tool to have, and it's worth the I don't know, the $1 or $2 for the mobile app, and the desktop app is free, so that's even better.
Yeah, I agree. So, what are some of your favorite cities then to photograph? I saw a ton of Chicago photos, and I assume you shoot around Toronto, but what are some of your favorites?
Well, to be honest, and it's not just because it's you, Chicago is really a great city.
Yeah, don't lie. It is. I agree. Yeah.
I was there 2 years ago, very shortly, just 2 days, and the weather was not very good, and so we were really keen on coming back, and we came back this year a few weeks ago, actually. So yes, Chicago is great for because you get a lot of things. You get the skyscrapers, but you can shoot at different, very different angles. It's easy to find many, many locations that are perfect. You can go on top of some skyscrapers, you can shoot along the river, you can shoot along the lake. So there's lots of variety and a lot of great architecture too, which is not the case of all cities,
No, it's got
obviously.
a lot of different stuff, there's no doubt.
Yes, so that's one city I really like. Toronto is pretty good. I'm still discovering it since I've only been here since like last fall. So there's pretty good spots, especially around the lake. And the CN Tower is always great in pictures, even though it's much taller than anything else.
And where were
Well,
you before Toronto?
I was in France.
And so were you near a big city or not?
So I was in Lyon, which is the second biggest city, but it's not as well known as Paris,
Yeah, lots of people know
obviously.
Paris, I think,
Yes.
yeah.
So well, Paris is fantastic for photography. I haven't been many times, but the last time I went, I spent only 1 day taking pictures, and honestly, I got so many keepers from that single day that it's hard to imagine that what a full week would be. That would
Right.
be great. So yes, Lyon in France is very good. It's a nice smaller city, but the difference from European cities, everything is a bit older. You have new stuff, but you have also old buildings that you cannot really find here. So there's a more charm about that, little streets and very different type of photography, obviously. Great
Yeah.
for it's really great for street photographers, which I don't really do, but there's a lot of opportunities, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to go to Paris, never been, so one of these days we'll get there, and all throughout France there, hopefully. So, great places. Anywhere else in the US you'd recommend or in Canada?
I would recommend in Canada, I could recommend to go to Quebec City. I think it has a very European feel to it. So it's a bit different than what you can find in the rest of Canada. So that could be a very nice visit. Some castles, there's especially in winter where you have the river that is frozen and everything. So if you, well, I would say maybe January or February are crazy cold, but then if you can go maybe like in the spring or in the fall, it could be really, really nice. And in the US, well, I would gladly say New York City, obviously.
Have you shot New York?
Yes, 2 years ago I was in New York for 3 or 4 days, which was definitely not enough. I would recommend to stay at least a week in New York because there's so many It's so big. There's so many places to go, and you don't want to do only photography. You want to enjoy the city, also the culture. You want to, I don't know, go to a Broadway show, go to nice restaurants, and
Yeah, no, New
so.
York is awesome. It's almost as good as Chicago. I agree. I agree. Give us just a couple of tips. You have some awesome cityscape shots. I don't know if it's your shooting or your post-processing or what it is you're doing, but you've got some amazing shots, kind of blue hour type shots where the city itself is just kind of pops right off the screen. Give us a couple of tips for either shooting or post-processing these things.
So, well, I've really come to enjoy the blue hour to shoot cityscapes. And one of the main reasons is that it's the time of the day where the light is a bit even everywhere. You get the lights of the city usually, and you don't have like that very, like at sunset or during the day, if you can have some very big difference in light. And at that time, the city already pops more because it's all the lights came on, and the blue sky that gets really, it's that deep blue shade is good for any time. It can be a bit, it can be cloudy, it can be a complete blue sky. It doesn't matter. The blue hour will work somehow. Well, if it's rainy, you might have other troubles, obviously. But so it's a great time to shoot. What I do usually is that I try to overexpose a bit, and that's why usually the city pops a bit more. And that's one of the tips I would get, is to every time I shoot at night or the blue hour when it's darker, I try to expose more. It's gonna look on your LCD panel, it's gonna look a bit too bright maybe, especially compared to what you might be seeing at that moment. But it will pay in post-processing because you can always darken it a bit. It's not as bad. It's not gonna produce noise or anything. And then what I do is I try to darken a bit the sky to make it more natural, not too bright, in post-processing, and keep the city a bit brighter. I use a lot the clarity tool, the clarity slider in Lightroom.
So you're
That
doing most of this in Lightroom then, right?
no, actually, well, I start. What I do is in my workflow is that I get everything in Lightroom, and I do the raw editing that we do in Camera Raw, maybe in Lightroom, and then I go to Photoshop to do the rest because I usually do selections. And I would, for example, only sharpen the city, or I will do a lot of my last step usually before sharpening is a lot of dodging and burning, and that's how you can really make things pop. You draw the attention of the viewer to the city and not maybe on the sky or on the water, depending on the shot, obviously. And for my dodging and burning, I usually use a lot of selections. So I usually have the sky, the city, and if there is a foreground or if there is a lake or anything else, I have another solution for that. And then I edit kind of all the different part a bit separately. Sometimes if there's a big difference in luminosity, I would just like if it's a sunset, for example, and at the blue hour, I will just maybe take the sky from one exposure and the city from another, because sometimes there's too much difference. Instead of doing an HDR, I would just blend them. So that's another way I do too.
And so when you're doing these, on average, how long are you spending on one image?
It varies a lot, I must say. No, well, if it's purely like cityscape, landscape, I would spend maybe 5 minutes in Lightroom, usually not more. I would just What I do in Lightroom is pretty fast, since I do some lens correction usually. If it's a cityscape, I like to have my vertical lines, like of the buildings, actually vertical, so I do some correction for that. I do some adjustments not to have the highlight blown or too dark, and a bit clarity, a bit the color if it the balance is off or something. And then I go to Photoshop, and then I can spend any time from for landscape and cityscape from 10 minutes to half, maybe 30, 40 minutes, not more usually. It would
Yeah.
take a lot more time if I do some long exposure architectural work, for example.
Oh, so how long will you spend on those then?
Of actual editing, it could be sometimes 1, 2, 3 hours. But the thing is, since it's a lot more creative, sometimes I get a bit stuck in my editing, and then I will leave the image off process for a few days, sometimes a few weeks, and then come back to it. And then, oh, now I know what was wrong. And like I remember a picture that I took maybe, I don't know, in December, no, or January, and I started editing it, and then I kind of had finished, but something was wrong. And I came back a month later and I saw the pictures and I was like, okay, I need to crop that in a square instead of a rectangle. And then it worked out well and then it was over. But I needed to start. Sometimes you get too much into one picture and then you have to step back and come back the next day to see, oh yeah,
Oh
now
yeah, no,
it's.
I do that all the time, and I keep editing it and editing it, and I'm like, I'm making it better and better and better and better, and then you're like, what did I do to this? Jeez. I know exactly
Exactly.
what you mean.
Yeah, I try not to never publish online a picture the same day I did it,
Oh
and
really?
always
Interesting.
come back the next day and see. Sometimes you get really in a hurry, you do stuff, you publish it, and then you have a few comments, and you're like, oh my God, that looks terrible. I didn't see that, and
What
you're like,
was I
okay,
thinking? Yeah.
exactly. And so yeah, my rule is to not publish the same day, so I can have a. And a good night's sleep in between.
And fresh eyes to look at it. That makes sense.
Come to my senses.
That's good. Now, tell us a little bit about your website. It is anotherangle.eu. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So right now it's mostly, well, there's my portfolio, there's my blog, there's a link to my SmugMug for prints.
You do a
So
lot of great tips, though. I mean, your blog's very good. I mean, all the things we've been talking about today, you've got tips on all this stuff all in there, right?
yeah, well, that's kind of the my blog. I try to have two ways, two types of articles mostly. The one direction of my article is a kind of a location guide. So I went to one place, I liked it, and I'm gonna write an article about how to get there, when to get there. Is it better in winter? Is it better in summer? Or is it better at sunrise or at sunset or blue hour, depending on the conditions? And then I try to give a few tips on what you can do at that location or what to expect. Are you expecting? Do you need to be there 2 hours early because it's so crowded and you need to put your tripod in and wait, or is it a completely remote location or unknown location and you're fine? And then obviously tips about shooting, composition, what I saw over there. So that's the first part. And then I try also sometimes to do some tips about photographing cityscapes. I plan to do some video tutorials on post-processing. I haven't got to that yet. I keep talking about it for a few months now, but I really need to work on
Oh,
that.
sometimes like this podcast, I thought about it for about 2 years and then it just started a few weeks ago, so that'll happen.
Yes, so now I'm happy because I get to post often. I started the blog like maybe a year and a half ago, something like that, and then it was very sporadic, posting three posts in 1 week and then nothing for 2 months. So this year I keep it steady and it's much better, it's more interesting, and yeah.
No, it was great. I mean, if somebody was just getting into doing cityscape photography, they'd go there, they'd learn quite a bit and really be on the right track and have a lot of great locations to go to. So
Which
I
is
really
good.
recommend it. It's anotherangle.eu from Michael Mraz. So I think that that's great. There's also you've got a couple of ebooks on there. Tell us about those.
So I have the first time I did a small ebook is 2 years ago. Basically, we with my girlfriend we did a road trip. We started in Seattle and we ended up in New York. So that was like 5,000 miles in 3 weeks.
Wow.
That was so I had so many pictures that I started doing a book, a real book for myself, and I thought, hey, why not do an ebook like people might just enjoy? And then I shared it on Google Plus, and someone, a photographer I know, Rhinus Baker, shared it too, and a lot of people downloaded it. And so this year I just thought I would do more. I did a small one on the Cinque Terre in Italy, which is free too, a free book that you get if you subscribe to my newsletter, actually.
I just did, actually. Thank you very much. And I got it, downloaded it. Looks
Cool.
great.
Cool. So that was again a short trip, like 5 days in a very, very beautiful place in Italy on the coast of Liguria. And then I did last year I did a project. So in my city in Lyon, I did a project to shoot as many buildings and places and landmarks I could during the blue hour. It was kind of at first a project for myself to improve. So it was kind of giving myself a goal to do that project, so I would keep on improving my skills both in shooting, in post-processing, and having a goal was helping me a lot just getting out there, because sometimes you I feel a bit lazy. Oh no, I'll just stay home, watch a movie, and then that was a good way to get me to actually do a lot of photography. And then I got to think about that ebook or book or whatever I wanted to do with it. And then I actually wrote did some research and wrote some text to go with the pictures that will talk about the history of the buildings. So that's why I made an ebook, which you get the pictures. So they're usually pretty cool pictures of the older landmarks of the city during the blue hour, and then you get the history of the actual building. Sometimes the history dates back to 2,000 years ago, and sometimes it's 5 years ago. So it's very interesting to see how the city evolved. So unfortunately, it's only in French.
The
I say it because I don't want.
photos aren't in French.
No,
Everyone can enjoy the photos.
yeah, exactly. That's what I always say. The photos are not in French, and I think they're quite cool. And if you actually speak French, then you get the text as a bonus. And it's, I think it's only $5, so it's not too much, I guess.
No, that's
So.
great. So I mean, your site's great. You got a lot of great tips for everybody. You've got the ebooks. You may have videos coming out. I mean, you got a lot going on, and it's all really high quality. So I mean, thank you very much, Michael, for coming on here.
Well, thank you for
Besides,
inviting me.
oh, of course. Besides your site, the anotherangle.eu, where else would you like people to go to find you?
Well, you can definitely find me on Google Plus, so you can just look for my name, Michael Mraz, or and there's links on my website anyway. I'm on Twitter, and also I'm on Facebook, which is Michael Mraz Photography. So if you can go on Facebook, because I don't have many followers there, I would really appreciate
No, you
it.
got it. We'll put links to all those places in the show notes so
Great.
people can go there.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael. This is great. I really
Thanks.
appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right.
It was great.
All right. Thank you very much. Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for episode 8 of Out of Chicago. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you to Michael Mraz for the interview. Thank you to everyone that came to the conference. The one thing you have to look forward to is Art Wolf. He's coming July 12th, so join me there. He'll be at Loyola University. Look for the link in the show notes. And that's it. Thank you very much. We will see you next time. Good night.